Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
And welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and today is February 15th, 2015. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month. Tonight is another live coaching hour. The number to call in if you'd like to be coached about something or you're challenged by or stuck in your life is 646-716-9397. And we already have a couple of callers in the queue, so we're going to jump right in and get started with some coaching here on Mark My Words. So first, we've got Sasha calling in from Oregon. Sasha, how are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in. When Sasha contacted me about being coached on the air, she said that she has a tendency to want to give her work away and undercharge for it and even offer discounts before even asking for her actual fee. So Sasha, tell me a little bit about that and a little bit about what it is that you do.
I am working with pre-diabetics to do health transformations. So I work with a lot of exploration on why they are in a health crisis and with what they eat. And there's a lot of just investigation and personal transformation up front. And it goes into like a diet weight loss program.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. So, and how long have you been doing that?
About 6 years.
Okay, cool. So I'm gathering that it's not as lucrative for you as it could be, given what you said about what your challenge is.
Yeah, well, I left a six-figure-plus-year job to pursue this full-time. and this is something people have just gravitated towards me. I would have people contact me and say, hey, you need to help me. So the business sort of found me. My clients had come to me before I framed it into like an actual business, making it, what I'm doing full time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So tell me a little bit about what your challenge is with regard to charging your full fees and undercharging for your services. What's going on there?
Part of it is like, so for example, I have like 20 clients I'm currently working with and they're getting amazing results. And like I said, people seek me out. But then when it comes time to go back to maybe some of these people and say, hey, listen, you're not paying me enough or I need to charge a certain amount to make it worth my time. It's really difficult for me to kind of go back to them and renegotiate. And then I noticed that even when I'm talking to new people, I took on 2 new clients in January. It was very difficult for me to even say, well, listen, this is what I charge. This is what I charge, but hey, I can help you make this happen, It's just very uncomfortable for me to just state the price and just let it sit there.
Sure. So tell me a little bit, just so I get the lay of the land. So you're meeting with them in an initial consult, and that's when the money conversation comes up.
So there's, I kind of threw two things at you, and I apologize. One are previous clients, okay? And they would basically be giving me $50 a month, which at this point is just not enough money. And so there's a discomfort in going back to them saying, hey, listen, I realize that for the past like 2-3 years I've been doing the $50 a month. That's not an appropriate fee for me at this time. I need more money from you. That's hard. But the second one is taking on new people. These new people are taking on my new prices, and my new prices are like a 6-month program for $34.97. And it's difficult. It's just uncomfortable. I have to like snap a rubber band to be able to say it. I have to write it down and like look at it and like, you know, like a kid brushing your teeth when you're 12, you know, it's like I have to like make myself say it. It's not something that I'm coming forward with and saying, hey, listen, I'm not seeing that universal, like you're sharing, I'm giving you a gift and you're going to reward me in return. It's like this, oh my God, and here's that moment. I have to like tell you what it's worth. And it's just really bad. I don't like it.
Yep, sure. So what you're experiencing, Sasha, just so you know, is so enormously common. And it's not just for people who are new at what they do. It's very common for people who've been doing it for a long time as well. So, you know, it makes sense that you're feeling a little anxious about it. You're in good company. So many people do. And it's also, it makes sense that you'd feel particularly anxious if you've already been working with somebody at one fee and then you're raising your fees versus when it's a new fee for somebody. So let's kind of keep those separated for a little bit. And I just want to ask you, what's the new fee that you decided upon?
An at-home program for 4 months is $447, and then the three-day weekend live with a 6-month program is $34.97.
Okay. So can I make an observation?
Please.
So I noticed that as you were telling me what those fees are, you weren't entirely sure. It sounded
exactly.
like you weren't. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Got it. Yep. Yeah. So I know that if I was going to work with somebody and ask them their fees and they were kind of guessing and saying, yeah, I think it's about this, I might wonder, like, what's going on there? What's that about? And I might lose confidence in that person's professional abilities or professionalism, right? It would make me question, how set up are they? They might sound like they just got out of school and started doing it and aren't sure what to charge, right? So, so one thing is to look at being more confident in stating your fee. And that's actually an easier part than you may think. So before we get to that, let me just ask you, what is it that you feel is in your way of asking for your fee?
Okay. Part of it is the words, like actually trying to find the numbers that I can say that come off of my tongue easily.
Gotcha. Okay, great.
Does that make sense? Like you could tell me any number, you know, and they're all... You know, it's just, I don't know what that number is, that just like, it can come out.
Right. Okay. So why don't we play with a couple of numbers?
Okay.
All right. So the number that you just told me, I'm going to write it down because my short-term memory sometimes fails me and I've already forgotten. It was 30 what?
In my head, it's 3,400.
Okay. All right. And do you set that at 3,397?
I know, and then it ended up $34.97, I believe is what it is on my website right now.
You don't even know what it is on your website, huh?
Because I write it, I have a couple products, and this is the next one I'm focusing on. But yes, that's the thing, is I have to write it down and like look at it. I want to say $3,400. It's easy for me to say, and it makes sense for me to say it, but I think in the business game, so to speak, it's not around numbers don't go well or something. But I like to round.
Yeah, there's something to pricing that for products they find that something 99, and then for services something 97 tends to actually create more business and create more sales. I don't know why that is, but this stuff has been studied extensively by marketing professionals, and that's what they tell us. So,
and that's my problem. 3,400 is what my heart tells me, but then making that into the business numbers is just not coming off my tongue, and I go 79 instead of 97, and it's just a yard sale.
Right. All right, so that's 3,497 for a six-month program?
Yes.
Okay, great. So 3,497 for a six-month program. All right, so let me ask you, and I want you to just kind of, and we'll do this several times, I want you to kind of just tell me what your fee is for a six-month program. So I'm chatting with you, you've told me a bit about what you do, and I said, great, Sasha, that sounds really cool. So if I wanted to work with you, what do you charge?
$34.97 for 6 months.
Great. How'd that feel?
Cumbersome.
So tell me
I don't like the number very well. It's disorienting and confusing for me.
Okay. Is it the 97 piece? Like if you said 3,400.
Yeah, 3,400.
That's what's getting you.
Yes, exactly. 3,400 is, I stand by it. I believe in it. It pencils out. It translates to the value, and it translates mm-hmm. to in the market of other programs. You know, it's like that's good. 3,400.
So how would you feel? Because I'm sure some people do this. Let's say your price is $34.97 on your website. What if verbally, when you talk to people, right, you said $3,500, and then when people go to actually pay, it's $34.97.
I think I should go the other way then. I think it should be $33.97 on the website.
Okay.
And then make it $34. $34 is really where I'm at, yeah. I feel pretty
mm-hmm.
solid about
okay.
that. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you next, was how do you feel about that amount? I mean, forgetting about the detail of how the numbers that you choose, how do you feel about $3,400 as the value of your service, like for real, deep down, when you dig down inside?
No, it's good.
Okay,
it's good.
I get that energetically. You don't seem to have much hesitation there, so good. Okay. Tell me a little bit about why you feel your services are worth $3,400 for a six-month program. Pitch me on that. Tell me why.
Good. There's two reasons. One, I'm the only person on the market who's actually put together a program like I have, which is mm-hmm. Personal development as well as health-related as well as targeting fitness. So when people go through my program, they experience a huge amount of shift. But these people, when I find them, are extremely stuck and hopeless, and people refer to me as having saved their lives. So the value they're getting is they're getting off medication, they're getting out of the possibility of becoming, having diabetes is a possibly fatal, fatal disease, and
sure.
liberating someone from, and they get so much more than, they think they just need to lose a few pounds, and that's when they start, but what they end up getting is their entire life back, just a few shifts and then diet and this reconnection with themselves and everything else kind of goes with it, So they've got
mm-hmm.
a whole new opportunity in life, and it's huge.
Right. Okay.
And it's less than a car. Right. It's less than a car.
Certainly. So very good. And you sound very confident about that.
Yeah.
So, you said something to me that I'd like to reference. You said something to me while we were waiting for the show to begin,
mm-hmm.
and we were on the line. You said that you discovered something about how you were feeling before the show started, and how that was similar to how you feel when you have to talk about your fees. So can I ask you a little bit about that?
It's a level of vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that you're going to reject it or say no. It's that I get this fear feeling like my parents are going to come home and find me smoking or something. Like there's this like adrenaline surge in the pit of my stomach that goes like, oh shit. And that feeling is not, that is the feeling I'm avoiding. it's not that you think I'm crazy or you don't think I'm crazy. Like, I don't care. I'm not bothered or swayed by your judgment. But I don't like the intense feeling that I get at that moment. Like, it's just, it's all with me. It's like that feeling I get of the adrenaline of, like, you know, if you're rock climbing, the minute we have to let go and fell down, it's like, it's this, like, holy shit. It's terrible.
Right. So... So you said it's kind of like the feeling you get, like your parents are going to walk in and catch you doing something bad, like smoking. Right? So
right.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. Is how much, what's the question? There's a question percolating in me on that. How relevant is that specific reference about your parents catching you? Or was that just pretty kind of random to describe the physiological feeling of the heart racing? Or is there really something there about your parents catching you smoking or doing something wrong?
Well, they did catch me smoking. And I don't know where the reference came from. It just came from thin air. But, yeah, it's a true story.
Gotcha. So here's the thing I'm wondering.
Here's
the thing I'm wondering. And I might be making up this connection. So if it's not relevant, just tell me. But I feel like I want to ask you, how do you feel about the amount of support you have from your parents for what you do professionally?
I don't have any. I don't have any support from anyone.
Tell me a little about that. You're on your own.
My parents.
I don't need financial support.
My parents, my grandmother both have passed away. Dad wants to be supportive. He's learning more about what I'm doing. He started taking me seriously. So he's actually just finally started to kind of come forward with like a little bit of questions about it, but I wouldn't put him in my support corner per se.
Okay.
I have some friends who are supportive.
How important might it be for your dad to be in that support corner for you?
Moderate, you know, I think it's always good having a solid support. He's in business for himself. I know that he has a lot to share, and I think there's a level of bonding over this. So that's a hope for the potential for the future. And I think that part is going well. So that's good. I don't think it's going to slow me down or stop me.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to see if there was any energy maybe there around, you know, around that, just because it just reminded me. I was coaching somebody once who was trying to start a business, and it was something in a bit of a non-traditional area, and what he realized was that part of what was stopping him was he didn't believe it was really all that viable because it wasn't the same kind of traditional career that his parents would step up and say they're really proud of him and feel happy telling other people about, because, you know, it wasn't like you're a doctor or a lawyer or a finance professional. And, you know, and
you're
so
actually,
he realized that.
You're actually really right on the money. I didn't expect that to be the result of this call, but he and I finally, like, I'm finally just actually in discussing my business with him after the Thrive weekend. It was the first time he ever called me his daughter. So that's a brand new emerging relationship. So there's a lot more in that than I would have anticipated. So yeah, I mean, it is exciting and moderately important to have him, you know, step in like that. I think that's a great thing. It's a wonderful, you know, it is a good thing. Yes, there is energy there, but I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So, all right, so that's a good insight to have. So how does it feel to have landed on that?
Interesting. Quite interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to go there with it. Yeah, it's great.
Cool. And this is your biological dad, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and it's the first time that he called you his daughter.
Yes, yeah.
How does that feel?
I was proud of him. I've known him for like 20 some odd years. And and I was proud of him because I know that it took a lot for him to reach that point where he could say it and own it and just, you know, and that was really cool. It was a great moment.
Can I ask you a little more about that? It's up to you. I don't want to have you go somewhere. If
no, that's okay. Yeah, you're okay. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So what was it that prevented him all that time from calling you his daughter?
You know, the best I understand the story is my parents were young, and she decided that he was irresponsible, and so she's kind of said, hey, don't come around. So when he did come around many years later, he had to meet me as a person. I think that we fumbled, and I didn't know how to build that bridge, and he did not know how to build that bridge. So we spent a lot of awkward years.
Mm-hmm.
Being an adult now, gotcha. And having gone through some stuff, you know, and knowing there's a lot of, we both have gone through our own personal development journeys in our lives. And now we're adults, we're kind of building that original bridge. And like, you know, and it took us a long time, I think, to get here, but we are arriving to that place of connection. Mm-hmm. And I think he's forgetful and he's a little spaced out, which is great. I'm the same way. But I think that's what my mother intentionally, like, he'd say, hey, I'll you know, come pick you up, we'll go to the ballet, and we wouldn't hear from him for a year. And she took that as being, you know, irresponsible and negative. So she kind of put mm-hmm. the wedge intentionally. And now mm-hmm. that I know he's that way, and I do the same thing, so I'm like, ah, okay, I get that.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of forgiveness of him from you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
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 So, you know, when I asked you how you felt about him saying that, you said you were really proud of him.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Sasha, how do you feel for you? So that's how you feel for him. How do you feel for you hearing your dad refer to you as his daughter for the first time? What did that, what emotion came to you?
I think it was intellectual, and it's kind of like, wow, about time. You know, I don't think it was, I didn't foresee it. There wasn't a big explosion of emotion. It was just kind of like gratitude, kind of like, right on, you know, about time.
Great.
It made sense to me. I think it just kind of clicked. I was like, okay, good, there we are, you know.
Yeah, great. Okay, all right. So I want to bring this back around then. And thank you for opening up about that and sharing that.
thank you.
What I'm curious about is how much of an impact does that story have potentially on your comfort and vulnerability when it comes to talking about charging for your services? What's the connection there, if any?
You know, if I have to try to draw a pattern from my life, which I will, the leaving, the loss, the leaving, the, you know, I'm having, you know, I think come down to like me saying what my fears are, you saying, okay, great, well, I'll let you know when you're leaving, but you're leaving again. And even though I'm old enough to not chase or follow and to allow you to make your choice, I still, there's a series of caretaking. There's a moment where I have to like kind of hug myself and say, hey, when this person says yes, they say no, it's not personal. And I have to have this a little bit of, you know, kind of dialogue that might just be the end of it. And that's okay.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, so I think I'm always the last one to leave, and I never know how to say goodbye to people. It's the same, it's the leaving kind of a thing, so.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. That if you say the wrong thing, the person's going to leave, and then it brings up the stuff about your dad.
Yes, that's it.
That's what
Sorry,
I'm hearing.
That's
yeah.
it. That's it.
Okay, great. So what a terrific insight, right?
Yes.
So first of all, I just want to acknowledge you for a moment. I mean, here you are, and what I really get about you, which I think is really great, is that you're very light, you're very playful, you've got a real great positive energy, and even as you talk about things that are difficult for you, I hear, you know, a sense of lightness and of humor. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. I think that probably serves you pretty well. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
So great. So how might this realization actually help you right now when it comes to saying how much you charge for your services? Now that you've landed on this insight, What difference might that make for you? What could you do with that now?
I think framing it or sitting with it, I think as I'm going into it, with a better compassion for how it is impacting me. Instead of just saying, okay, this is a sales part of the conversation and this is a necessity and here's the number, Sasha, just buck up and do it and we got to do it. There's a better sense of empathy and compassion for myself and saying, okay, I get this is sensitive because of this other thing that's going on and that's okay. And I can look at that and say, all right, and I think that I can support myself better by saying, hey, you know, now it's going to be more like, Sasha, it's okay, you know, and this is the scary part because maybe they will leave and that's okay too. And being able to breathe into that and let that be more of the reason instead of saying it instead of a forced part of the conversation, there's, I can support myself, I think. And then that can allow me to, you know, grow and evolve and have it be something where every time I say it, it can be a positive experience because now I'm working on something that is spiritual and is true for me instead of like it being about the money and about sales or because I can sell anything. This is about me and leaving. So now I can like, now I'm like, okay, great. You know, I was afraid of climbing. So I went climbing, you know, and I had a lot of empathy and I hung out and cried a whole lot. But it was okay to do that because I knew I was growing. And here is another thing that's, you know, that I can look at it and enter into it different, more lovingly.
Mm-hmm. Great. And, you know, it sounds like you want to help a lot of people. And, you know, I always talk about this when I teach at the coaching program at IPEC, and whenever I coach and teach students about building a business, one of the things I always talk about is if you want to help a lot of people, that's great. Lowering your fees to below what you're worth prevents you from helping a lot of people. In the short run, it looks like I'm helping more people because I'm not saying no to anybody who can't afford me. But by the same time,
right,
if we can't build a sustainable business, we won't be able to do it for very long, and then we can't help anybody. And then you end up having to go out and get a part-time job or even a full-time job, and then you don't have time to do what you might really feel is a calling.
Right.
So how helpful might it be to keep in mind that charging what you're worth is a way of reaching more people?
You know, I've heard that before. And honestly, when I looked at my fee versus the time, I was able to track how many hours to put someone through my program. And that's when I build myself. I'm in an economically depressed area. I'm not in Marin County anymore. So I build myself at $20 an hour, which is totally reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the effort I was putting into and then the different, you know, things I had, different costs, and I came up with $3,400 is what it would cost me to pay myself and run my program. I had no problem in that portion of it giving myself the money I was worth and knowing and whatever and whatever. And a few times I had to remind myself, I'm, you know, I look at the number get bigger and bigger and I had to stop and say, but this is what it's going to cost me. But when it comes to that moment where I'm having that conversation, these are just the tiniest little, I leave my mental space and I enter into the vibe, you know, I enter into this like, you know, this other space. So saying it doesn't really mean much to me as much as being like $3,400 is what I charge because I've looked at the numbers and that's what it will take. You can't see it maybe to you it's expensive, but I know that when you end up in tears saying I just saved your life because you call me from the doctor's in 3 weeks, you know, I'm like, yeah, is it worth it? And you're like, yeah, it is. So I know that's what I'm worth. But remembering that it will or won't keep me in business isn't, that was the mental thought that went into making the price in the first place. That doesn't help me in the conversation because I leave my mental head kind of leaves and I'm all like vibe.
Right.
And,
gotcha.
You know.
So what would help you in the conversation?
Say that again, please.
What would help you in the conversation? Because I heard you say that that helps you set the fees, right? That concept helps you set the fees, but it doesn't help you in the conversation. What would be helpful for you in the conversation with the client?
Being able to call it 3,400, because that's the number that's easy for me to say. That's what my heart and my gut tell me. I have no problem saying 3,400, you think it's too expensive, and I can sit with that. But having to add those numbers and just for the sales perspective of it, it's just not genuine for me. It's not.
Yeah, so that's what I know I'm hearing. Because I'm hearing that you really value genuineness and authenticity, and that doing numbers like something 97 doesn't feel authentic for you. So, you know, what's interesting is, you know, if all the research shows that, you know, somehow that creates more sales, well, it's obviously not creating more sales for you because it doesn't feel authentic for you. So what would it be like if you let go of that and just made your price $3,400, even if it says that on the website as well, but, you know, whatever works for you. And just give yourself that permission.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's so sad. Yes, that's all I needed was permission. You know.
Okay, well, you have it. I'm granting it to you now. You need to grant it to yourself.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny?
It is. Well, you know, we get in our own way with such silly things sometimes, right? I mean, they're not silly when they're happening, but then we look back on them and we're like, really? So, you know, it makes a lot of sense that something like that would get you a little bit stuck. So, So great. So as we bring this this conversation to a close, because we're about halfway through the hour, let me ask you, how much do you charge for a 6-month program, Sasha?
$3,400.
How much?
$3,400.
Wow. Great. Very cool.
Yeah.
Let me hear it again.
Yes. $3,400.
Great. Very cool. So, great. So what's the biggest insight you got from this session?
All of it.
Okay.
My price can be $3,400 because that's what is authentic for me. From the next part is that it is important for me that my dad, you know, connects with me about my business and the support with him. And the third was the talking about my price money was more about having this person then leave. That was connected into my ask of my price was them leaving. Mm-hmm. So it's a rejection or like a some kind of a, you know, separation anxiety type thing.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I heard it said once that there's a certain number of no's that you're always going to get. So every no that you get is one no off the list and one step closer to the next yes.
True story.
So great. Very good. Sasha, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your vulnerability on this call. And going there with me, and it's great. I think you're awesome, and I wish you the best of luck. Stay in touch with me. Let me know on Facebook how things are going for you. In fact, I'd love to know how your next conversation goes with a prospective client.
Perfect. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. All my best to you, Sasha.
Thank you.
Great. So, you know, we get stopped sometimes by some of the simplest things that can get in our way. And sometimes it's just a little aha moment that makes us wake up and go, oh my gosh, really? So there's a really, really great example of that. So great. So again, the number to call if you'd like to talk to us live here on Mark My Words is 646-716-9397. We're going to take just a short break while I announce some of the great stuff that's available to you as a Mark My Words listener from our sponsor, Audible.com. Mark My Words is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, which is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our exclusive URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and 1 month free trial of the service. So that's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Some great titles that I was finding earlier today while browsing around are Overcoming Failure, Pushing Your Fear Aside and Moving Forward in Life, written and narrated by Les Brown, Marsha Weider, and Bob Sercosta. Have failure and setbacks left you not knowing where to turn? Don't worry, you're not alone. With Overcoming Failure, you have the answers to where to turn next, right at your fingertips. Let best-selling authors Marsha Weider and the inspirational Les Brown show you the way to setting your fear aside and achieving anything you set your mind to. Should you keep moving forward or should you change direction? They'll help you figure that out. And another one is Earn What You're Worth. Maximize your income at any time in any market. Written and narrated by Brian Tracy. So one of the most valuable assets you have is your earning ability, your ability to do something that other people will pay you for. And the greatest financial responsibility of each person is organizing their time and work so that they earn the very most possible throughout their lifetime. Earn What You're Really Worth will show you how. Let Brian Tracy show you how to organize your life to assure that you earn the very maximum every day of your career. So that's again on audible.com. So go to audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio for a free audiobook and a free 1 month trial membership. So let's go ahead and move to our second caller. So we've got Linda on the line from Montreal. And Linda has, when she reached out to me, she said that it's about the fear of starting her own business. She's excited to jump in, but then there's fear of failure that sets in. And that's what she's dealing with right now. So Linda, welcome to Mark My Words.
Thank you.
Great
Hi,
to
Mark.
Have you on the show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So it sounds like we have that little 1 second satellite delay that often happens with internet-based services. So that might be why we step on each other or there's a long pause after one of us acknowledges the other. So just be prepared for that. So great. So Linda, tell me a little bit about what's going on with your fear of starting your own business. And for the benefit of our listeners, tell us what your business is and what it is that you do.
Well, right now I'm a human resources director, and when I started the IPEC program, I was initially interested in just gaining the skills to, or getting the credentials to be able to better coach the management team at work. And then as I went through the program, I definitely started to have some thoughts about opening up my own business. Fast forward 3 years, and now I'm really starting to feel that I'm ready for that. And it sort of evolved a little bit. I started to think about opening up a coaching business to empower women, which is something that I love to do, whether it be women in transition, so women experiencing, you know, difficulty with work-life balance, or women who are basically looking at, changing their careers or starting off in a new career. I've done a lot of HR mentorship. So I really wanted to do something along those lines. And then out of the blue, without even having started my own business, I started getting calls to do some leadership development work when people found out that I was in a coaching program. So I started to think, yeah, why not? I've got 20 years experience in doing that, and I could definitely see myself doing that as well. So it's all very exciting, but I feel a little bit all over the place. I feel, hey, my passion is the women, but at the same time, I've got all this experience in the corporate world, and you know, maybe that's what I should be doing. Or can I do both at the same time? So I have that fear of starting off on the wrong foot by biting off more than I can chew.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say you're all over the place, what do you mean by that?
I feel like 1 week I'm totally focused on the corporate coaching. And my mind starts to go in that direction, and I start to think about the different programs I could develop and the different webinars I could do and, all of those things. And then the following week, I'm like, yeah, but my passion really lies in the life coaching with women. Can I really do both? Should I really be doing both? And I start to let my fear of failure overcome and take over, and it kind of paralyzes me where I'm not doing anything.
Right. Sure. So your fear of failure, I'm guessing how that stops you is it stops you in the realm of creating your own business as a coach, because you can fall back on something that's more sure otherwise with the HR stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've had a pretty successful career. I have reached a point where, you know, my earnings are pretty good, and it's hard to sort of walk away from that.
Yeah, sure. Oh, of course. One of the most difficult things, I think, for people is to do a career change when there's such uncertainty. It's one thing if you're going to another job or even another career, but there's a structured job for you and you know what your salary is going to be and all that kind of stuff. But kind of jumping ship and going into your own business is a very, very, very scary thing for most people. So it makes sense that you're feeling a lot of fear. So let me ask you something, Linda. With having the level of success you currently have in your career, why the pull to get out of it and go into coaching to begin with? I mean, if everything is working well, good job, you're successful, you like the money's good, you're able to achieve your financial level and your financial goals, I presume, with it, why the pang, so to speak, to leave it to begin with?
Good question. For me, I just feel like I can do more. I can contribute more. I've been questioning my purpose, and I've gone through a difficult period in the last couple of months with my job, and it really made me realize that I do have a lot to offer, but I may be not in the right environment for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I started to consider maybe looking for other career opportunities, nothing else really attracts me. It's nothing, like any position I've looked at online doesn't really speak to me in any way. So as I started to go through the process, I said to myself, you know what? It's not speaking to me because I'm not listening to my intuition. The last couple of years, I've really wanted to open up my own business. I've been talking about it for so long, but the fear of failure or the fear of change has just stopped me every single time. But it's come to a point where I'm sort of stagnating. Like I'm not moving anywhere else, and I'm not opening up my own business. I'm sort of stuck.
Right. So it's not enough for you, I'm hearing, to continue in the same career.
No, it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as fulfilling as it once was. Yeah, the money is great, and you know, the company is a great company and they're growing and there's a lot of opportunity, and really it's not that. It's personally, I just feel like I have more to contribute out in the world.
Yeah. I have to say, I want to acknowledge you for this, Linda. It's very refreshing to hear that. Because, you know, one of the things that's just a core value of mine when I coach my clients is that people do what they're passionate about and that they're not motivated by a fear, you know, but that they're instead motivated by passion. And that's why I work to help people discover what's their highest and best contribution to the world in the time that they're here. And I hear that you're feeling this pull, that you've got a much higher and better contribution to make at this point in your life than the one that you've been making.
That is so true.
And
yeah.
Right? That's what I'm hearing. It's not like there's anything bad or wrong with what you've been doing. It's just at this point, you're getting in touch with something that's higher, a much better and higher contribution for you.
Very true. The way I feel right now is the way I felt 20 years ago when I was going into HR. I felt that very same passion. I thought, wow, this is it for me. Like, it's the perfect job. It's business. It's helping people. It's what I love to do. And it was perfect. And I was very passionate about it for all these years. And I'm not saying that I'm not today. I mean, I still do enjoy the job. But I feel that I could do so much more. One of the things that I've enjoyed in the last couple of years is really mentoring the people on my team. And I feel, hey, if I enjoy it that much, then there's more to this.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, you know, I'm curious. It sounds like you followed your passion the last time you went into a career, your current career, right? And it was enormously successful when you followed your passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how possible is it that following your passion this time will also give you a tremendous amount of success and joy?
It's very possible.
Cool.
It is very possible.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. Why is that so possible?
I feel like I have a unique ability to connect with people at any level in an organization. And I just feel that just that part of my personality could really make me a great coach. I've got the business knowledge behind me. So, you know, I'm not just trying to become a leadership coach. I have been a leadership coach in the last few years anyway. It's something I'm very comfortable and familiar with. I've seen people shift, and it's very, very rewarding. I guess what's holding me back is really the financial aspect. Like, oh my gosh, what if I think I'm going to be that successful and then I fail and I have this family to support, because I am the main, my income is the main source of income at home. So it's scary.
Sure. So, of course it's scary. You know, like I said before, that it's one of the scariest things. And especially, you know, now that I know that you're the primary breadwinner in your family, I get how much more scary that makes it, right? So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. What I'm curious about, Linda, is why is it that you would fail? What would cause you to fail?
Good question.
Yeah, you just pointed out your gifts, your strengths, the results that you've seen yourself create, the fact that you've been doing coaching for a while in a different capacity as what you do now, and it's always been successful. So I'm wondering, what is it that you fear is going to cause your failure?
I just fear that I may have the skills to do it, but I don't have the skills to run a business.
Okay. Great.
The sales aspect, the getting the new clients, the marketing, all of that scares me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. So, and that's a real fear that many have as well, because they're different skill sets, right? They're different skill sets. And I know that when I decided to become a coach, and I went through a training program, right through IPEC, I knew that I was going to be a good coach. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to build a business out of either. I managed to work past that, and it turns out I love the marketing and sales aspect. I just find that very exciting. So I share that just to point out that that's a transformation that's quite possible, because I thought I was the last person in the world that would be able to make it, and I did. So it's a very common fear that people have. So I want to ask you two questions. One is, where do you know that you can get support with the business building aspect of it? What do you know about, as far as resources, where you can get support for learning how to build a business and getting past some of the inner stuff that might prevent you from building a business?
Well, IPEC is a huge source of information. I know that they, you know, do have programs that assist coaches with building their business, so I know that could be a great source for me. In terms of, you know, friends, or I don't really have all that many friends that own their own business, or even colleagues or people in my circle. So I don't really have that opportunity to brainstorm with people on how they did it and, you know, how successful they were or unsuccessful with different areas.
Okay. All right, so that's a good start. And can I make a suggestion or two?
Sure.
So one thing that might be helpful, I've seen people do this, is they hire a business building coach.
Right? That's true, too.
You know, and yeah, I know that that gets into, okay, how much is that going to cost? But you know what? How much is it going to help you make, right? So you have to look at that really as an investment in your business, which, of course, is a business write-off. As well, right? So that's an investment in your business. You're going to make that back, right?
Right.
So, and then of course, through your networks at IPEC, certainly there you have access to a gazillion coaches, and there's some very, very good business coaches out there. And some of the programs that IPEC does with its graduates and stuff are also really great in helping get you started. For those listeners that are wondering what IPEC is, because it's been mentioned several times, IPEC is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, which is one of the top leading coach training institutes in North America. And so that's where Linda got her training, so that's why she's been referring to it. The other suggestion, the other thing that I'm thinking of actually is something else that Sasha, my previous caller, actually mentioned, which was the Thrive Academy. And that's an academy that helps coaches and holistic practitioners build their businesses and, you know, be able to earn the money that they envision earning so they can have the life that they want and serve the people that they want to serve. And I have done many of their programs, become a lifetime member, and I just think it's awesome. And there's a lot of stuff out there that promises to help you build businesses, and I hear people talking about how there's a lot of hype out there and blah, blah, blah. And I personally feel that Jesse Corin and Charlotte Jacobs, who run the Thrive Academy, they're the real deal, and they've got the goods. So I would highly recommend that. In fact, they do their first initial weekend. You can get a full scholarship to by applying online. So you can check that out at thrive-academy.com. And I think that'd be an enormous resource for you.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, most people need the outside help. You know, there are people out there that are naturally entrepreneurs and they just figure it out and they make it happen and they just, you know, it works for them. And then if it doesn't, they just move on to the next thing and they win the next one, you know. And then there's those of us like you and me. It's like, I need help. I don't know how to do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's how I feel. I'm trying to gather all tidbits and going online and... It's just, I could see I need the help.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm thinking of something, too. I have to find it. But somebody that I know, also through the Thrive Academy, just pointed this out to me. There's a website community, a web-based community, where you can get a free mentor on just about anything. I don't know the name of it. I'd have to find it, and I can send it to you, and I can post it for listeners. I can post it on my website in the summary of this episode, so it'll appear later this week. But, yeah, you can actually get a free mentor on just about anything. I'm not sure how that all works, but I'm actually...
That sounds great.
I'm looking for it right now because I might be able to find it. Very quickly. Yes, here's the discussion. Mentor. All right. It's somewhere right near my fingertips. I know it, and but I don't want to take the time right now during the broadcast to find it. So, but I'll post that. I'll also send it directly to you so that you'll have it. So I'm curious too. As you think about what it takes to build a business, what are the things that you think about that make it so scary for you?
What are the things? I think it's a bit of everything. I think it's just everything that goes into the setup of it, you know, the website and the networking and just really figuring out where you need to be and when and to make sure that you take advantage of the opportunities for marketing your business. The financial aspect, I think it's really all that. The setup of the business, the marketing and sales, and the financial aspect.
Okay. And as you think about those things, what qualities do you feel you have that would actually work in your favor when it comes to doing those things? Like, what's your starting point?
I don't think I understand what you mean.
What
do you mean?
What are the qualities that you have that would actually begin to make you effective at those things to start with? There's the knowledge piece that you can get from the outside. But what exists inside of you as far as characteristics that would make you an effective business builder, marketer, salesperson?
I think I could be pretty persistent when I focus and I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm bought in to what I'm doing. Then I get very, very passionate and I just keep going. Like I know once I know the direction I'm headed, I can be focused, persistent to get it done. And I get really excited, motivated and very passionate about what I'm working on. So I think that could definitely help. I think I just need more clarity around everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so persistence, passion. Mm-hmm. What else?
Persistence, passion. I'm someone who's trustworthy, and I feel that I'm also very authentic. I'm a pretty direct person when I, you know, show up in any type of relationship, whether personal or professional. It's a comment I get very often, like, you're very, you know, what we see is what we get. there's really nothing else to it. It's, you're very authentic and genuine, and you're easy to trust.
Mm.
So I think that could definitely help in a coaching relationship.
Sure, sure. How does it help in the business building relationship?
Same with customers, I guess, right? Or with clients. I think that, you know, if they feel that that they can trust you with developing their team to help them get achieve the results they're looking for, then, you know, I think it makes it that much easier to get new clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Yeah, so you've listed six characteristics. You've listed persistence, passion, trustworthiness, authenticity, directness, and trustworthiness, you said twice.
Mm-hmm.
So how, if you were to lump all those together, and I was to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think you exemplify those characteristics? Like, to what degree do you exemplify them? 10 being, oh, they're totally and completely me and at my core, and 1 being, ugh, I just made them all up, but I don't believe I have any of them. Where would you put yourself?
10. I really believe they're at my
core.
Great.
I love that there was like no hesitation there.
Yeah.
Great.
For that, I'm pretty certain.
Great. Great. Very cool. All right. So how do you feel about writing those down and keeping those out and visible? So as a reminder that those are who you are.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, actually. Like
great.
Affirmation.
Check out. Yeah, and check out some of those business building things. You know, I think that there's an inner work and an outer work component to building a business, as we discovered with Sasha, the previous caller, right? There's the knowing what you do and all that kind of thing. There's the knowing what you're worth and all that. And that stuff might come up for you, too, once you get into the external work. It sounds like our session here kind of focused on the outer work, the knowledge, like where do I get the info to start? And, you know, be aware that there might be some inner stuff stopping you. We didn't seem to, our conversation didn't seem to go there tonight. But, you know, that's often the case. So just be aware of what comes up in you that might be similar. And you saw how for Sasha it was about a lot of inner work, right? So, you know, to just be start thinking about what is it that comes up for you on the inside that blocks you and stops you as well. By the way, the website for the free mentor, micromentor.org. That's MICROMENTOR. Micromentor.org. Somebody had just recommended it to me just a couple of days ago, and I didn't haven't looked at it yet, so I don't know much about it, but he was raving about it, and he's a coach as well. So, yeah, so that might be a really great place to start, maybe without
for
even having to invest a lot of money. But I think, and I recommend this to coaches out there that are all listening, you have to be willing to invest in your business. You know, one of the really great things about coaching as a business is that there's not a lot of startup costs. You know, you can work from home. You have a phone and a computer already. You can pretty much get started pretty easily. A website's not terribly expensive. You can do some easy ones. You can barter for those, right? So given that, there's an opportunity there to invest some money in training yourself on building a business so that you can do it successfully. You don't have to do it all alone.
That's very true. That's very true. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Linda. Great stuff. So tell me, what's the biggest insight you got from our conversation?
The biggest insight is that I do have what it takes to do this. I just have to believe in myself and not feel like I need to have all the answers. I like that you shared that when you started out, you had the same type of feelings and how successful you've become. I don't think business is as easy for me as it could be for, you know, the next person. So I think that definitely investing in the business and getting a business coach is something I'm willing to look at, because I feel that I do need that.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really thought about that before. I was just really focused on the research of it and, you know, talking to people about it, but not really focused on the investment portion.
Great. Well, good. Glad we're able to help you there. So
thank you.
Stay in touch with me as well, and let me know how it
sure,
goes
we'll
for
do.
You. Okay, Linda?
Thank you. Have a good night.
Great. You too. Thanks for calling Mark My Words. Okay. So before we close for tonight, I just want to announce a couple of upcoming shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm hosted by my awesome colleagues here on the Life Coach Radio Network's team of dedicated and amazingly talented coaches, all dedicated to making your life just a little bit more of what you want it to be. So first of all, my next show will be on March 1st, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and sort through the upcoming episodes till you find the next episode of Mark My Words, and click the reminder button so that you won't miss it. And also Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. is Danielle Mercurio's usual spot, and this time you'll find Danielle interviewing and I'm sorry, I cannot read the last name because the copy I'm reading from isn't very good. I apologize. But it's a life recovery coach and best-selling author of the book Alpha Chick, 5 Steps for Five Steps for Moving from Pain to Power. Sorry about that, folks. And then on Wednesday at 8 p.m., listening to your inner voice, the power of using your intuition. So join Pasha Cook, Danielle Gibson, and Tamara Costley Robinson as they discuss how, as children, we're programmed to see and behave the patterns of the patterns that are established by those who love us as normal and expected. And that makes it difficult to find our own voice sometimes, even as adults, even when that inner voice is screaming at us. So tune into the insightful power dialogue they're going to have and be really inspired and truly ready to live your truth, regardless of what other truths may have been drummed into your head, to be able to make each day better than the day before. And for those of you who are coaches out there, I am leading a training, a webinar that starts on Wednesday, February 18th, as certification for the CVI assessment that I love using with all my clients. So if that's something that any of you might be interested in, there's still time to get in and register for that. So just go visit my website at markshawcoaching.com and click on the For Coaches Only tab, and you'll see the details for that program. And if you have any questions, go ahead and just drop me email. So that about wraps it up, as I invite you, lastly, to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback for the show, go to markmywordsradio.com and scroll down to click the link to provide feedback. So I hope that you have enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. Stimulating. I look forward to speaking with you all again on the 1st of March at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for listening. I love having you all as my listeners. Stay in touch with me. Let me know what you'd like to hear me talk about here on Mark My Words. So thank you again for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.